Hello, my baby witches. I want to start out by saying, if that term offends you, I want to apologize, because for me, it is a term of endearment. It's not meant to be degrading. It's not meant to imply that anybody is immature. It's just meant to recognize that you're new to this path. Being a nurse, baby is a term that, you know, gets thrown around with. Resident doctors will say baby doc, or ENT is a nurse, is a baby nurse. And it's usually done so, and, you know, you can definitely tell what tone, but it's done so in a way that is like, hey, this person's new, cut them some slack, take them under your wing, teach them, show them, that kind of thing. It's not meant to be a derogatory thing. Maybe some people use it that way, but by and large, that's not the way it's meant to be. So if that is something that offends you or upsets you, you know, I'll apologize. Because I don't want to do anything that's going to push anybody away from listening to this podcast or make anybody feel alienated. That is certainly not my intent. You know, we're still currently in Mercury in retrograde. And one of the things with it is miscommunications and arguments. And I don't know if you all spend much time on the various platforms, the internet, that there's a lot of, I have noticed that there's a lot of trolling going on, and there's a lot of disagreements going on. And I'm kind of like, yep, there's Mercury in retrograde. And, you know, it's just, try to take a step back and remember, don't let it get the best of you. I'm certainly not saying that when someone's a jerk to you, to just go, oh, well, that's Mercury in retrograde, and excuse their behavior, because that's not okay. One of the things that I have always told my daughter is, there may be a reason for bad behavior, but there's never an excuse. So hopefully you all are managing getting through this Mercury in retrograde, and we'll come out on the other side stronger and better. So we all just had the new moon, right? And as a kitchen witch, I just found this. So it's kind of cool when, you know, I'm still learning, right? I mean, I don't think we'll ever get to a point where we know everything. And so I just found this, and I thought it was really interesting. I thought I would share it with you all off of a blog that is pathos.com, pathos.com. And it's Beneath the Moon, Witchcraft and Moon Magic for a Deeper Practice. And this person has on their blog, this is a Rachel Patterson, and it's Cooking with the Moon Phases. And I thought it was really interesting, especially for anybody who is, you know, like myself, a kitchen witch. Now, I probably would not follow this because, or at least, you know, I'm an eclectic kitchen witch, so I'm going to take pieces that work for me and discard the rest. That's how we roll. But I found this very interesting. And I just want to read it to you. It's, the power of the moon is incredibly strong and affects our moods and emotions. We all know that's true, right? The most of us will be used to working with the cycles of the moon rather than against them. Going with the flow, so to speak, can make our lives much easier. We can also tailor the foods we eat to the phases of the moon to tap into that power and work with the rhythm of our bodies and emotions too. Waxing moon. For the waxing moon, work with foods and menus that feed your soul, increase your strength, and revitalize your spirit. Bright, cheerful, spicy, exciting foods bring magic into your cooking for abundance, healing, love, creativity, manifesting, and setting goals and dreams into motion. Try using recipes on the waxing moon that include meat, fish, or chicken, beans, grain, and pasta, lots of veggies, and natural yogurts. Fill your recipes with lots of herbs and spices, the good ones that boost your immune system. For afters, go for dairy-filled desserts or warm crumblies and fruit pies. This is an excellent time to try out new recipes and use ingredients that you haven't cooked with. Be daring. Waxing moon, she's got here broccoli, carrots, corn, garlic, onions, sweet potato, peppers, colorful vegetables, meat, chicken, fish, grains, beans, dairy, fruits, basil, fennel, thyme, ginger, turmeric, and honey. And then she has for full moon, On the full moon, it's time to bring on the feast. Rich, delicious, extravagant foods that celebrate the goddess and her mother aspect. Big, rich foods full of flavor and all the good stuff that isn't healthy in honor of the goddess at this moment. For the full moon, pull out all the stops. Make a big, hearty dishes. Fish, eggs, pasta, rice. Make sure you throw in lots of warming spices. Bake potato dishes and cook with cabbage and cauliflower, adding herb-filled sauces and lots of chilies. To treat yourself afterwards, go for sumptuous, decadent desserts filled with fruits, nuts, and of course, cakes and chocolate. And so then she goes on to say that with the waning moon, it's time to eat up all those leftovers, work with what you have in the fridge or the cupboards, choose lighter foods, perhaps even ones that cleanse your system. Keep it light, keep it fresh. For the waning moon, keep it simple, fresh, cleansing citrus fruits, fresh veggies, herbs, fish and rice, beans, soups are an excellent choice for this moon phase. Plenty of garlic, she says, herbal teas, and then desserts, go for fresh fruit and yogurts. She has for the new moon, and this is where she kind of loses me. On the new moon, we welcome the dark goddess. This is a powerful phase of the moon and a time for inner work. It's suggested that this, and here's where she lost me, folks. This one is the time of fasting. And I get that. Like, I know that there are loads of people who fast, and I think that's actually become a pretty popular, like, intermittent fasting has become a pretty popular thing right now. And I even fast occasionally, and this would only be once a month. But, you know, my initial response as a kitchen witch is like, fasting? What? You out of your mind? But I still think it's very, I think it's relevant. And I, you know, I won't say I won't do it. Just my initial response is to be like, you asked me to go 24 hours without eating. You crazy. But she says, if you can't fast, she recommends that you just keep things really light and healthy and make sure you drink plenty of fluids. Spring moons, she says, spring moons are a season for new beginnings, growth, awakening. So eat foods that inspire you to connect with the energies of spring. Summer moons is a time for sitting outside, eating, whether it's your backyard, picnic, beach, celebrate life and all that we have. Autumn moons are harvest time. We start to think about warming, hearty foods, giving thanks. Winter moons are cold and dark. And so she says with that, we involve foods that warm us, keep us strong, maintain our bodies throughout the winter season. The moon for each month also has its own magical properties and energies. So go with your intuition and how you feel and how those energies around you make you feel and cook accordingly. And so I just thought that that was awesome. And I guess that's taken from a book called A Kitchen Witch's World of Magical Food by Rachel Patterson. I really thought it was awesome. I really like every aspect of it. I even like the fasting aspect of it, but I probably won't stick to that chew and fast. But I do like the whole do a lighter, you know, I definitely will do lighter. And, you know, I did do that recently because I read this a few weeks ago. And, so it was, you know, we were moving into the new moon and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try this. Right. And so I made salmon and asparagus and just had a very lighter meal for the new moon. That was our new moon. I made salmon, asparagus and some baked little potatoes, roasted potatoes. And that was our new moon meal. So yeah, I did that. And I just thought I would touch a little bit on, you know, I know I give you an herb each time we talk, but I don't really delve really into the kitchen witch aspect of things. And I thought I would spend a little bit of time kind of going over that and explaining it a little bit more. Because it's really, I call myself an eclectic kitchen witch. And there's a reason I don't stop at just eclectic. And it's because I could say eclectic witch, and that would just pretty much mean, hey, I just do, whatever I want. I kind of take, pick and choose, and what works for me, I run with. And that's what an eclectic witch kind of does. They kind of borrow from everything and anything, and they make their own path with that, and there's no rights or wrongs. And I am that, but I don't stop at I'm just an eclectic witch. I always say it's an eclectic kitchen witch, because the kitchen witchery part is so much of who I am and what I do that I go ahead and put myself in that box, that label, because it is important to me. Hearth and home are very important to me. The kitchen is where we work with all the elements. When you think about it, you are combining air, fire, water, spirit, earth, and you're making a meal. I mean, it actually is a very magical practice when you do it with intention, and purpose, and you do it in a way that's not just, you know, hit the popcorn button on the microwave. So for me, it's pretty significant. It is a large part of what I do, and I really enjoy it. And part of that is when you're a kitchen witch, some of the things that you do are you try to really know your herbs, and how you can use those herbs and all the different foods and the seasons that coincide with those foods. Like, I really like to try and make meals. So like when I celebrate Sabbats, part of Sabbat's going to be a meal. And I want to incorporate things into that meal that are reflective of the Sabbat, the same way like people have a Thanksgiving dinner, right? Well, I want to have an Ostara dinner, and that's going to be reflective of that holiday for me and that kind of thing. And so there are people who celebrate the Sabbats or practice rituals, and they do things that are, you know, and it's fine. That's how they do them. You know, they may just spend 15 minutes here or there in the evening. They did this, or something's on their altar and they think of it. But I'm really about like bringing that whole like aspect into your life, living a magical life. Okay, so moving on. Oh, but by the way, I do microwave popcorn. There's plenty of days where I don't go all out, and that's fine too. I want to move on and talk about altars, because that's what I promised you guys I would do. So an altar is not mandatory, but many people have them. It's a structure used for worship, prayer, ritual. Okay. At an altar, it can be as simple as you want it to be, or it can be very elaborate. It depends on you. And in the beginning, expect simple. Don't get overwhelmed feeling like it has to be this huge elaborate thing. You don't need to spend money on it. A ton of money, you know, it will grow as you grow. It can be, a table in a corner, or an entire room can become your sacred space. I have an entire room dedicated to my altar. It's my sacred space, but it's taken, you know, a long time for that to happen. So start out with the basics. Find your surface. It could be a cabinet, corner table, shelf, desk, even a section of your kitchen countertop can be an altar. It can be, you know, as big or as small as you choose. There's even an altar called a travel altar. It's basically a bag or a basket with an altar cloth, and then all your things are inside that basket and you take it with you. So some people, they like to, you know, maybe practice outdoors. That basket they take with them, and then they can spread their altar out in nature. Or maybe there's somebody, excuse me, sorry. Maybe there's somebody who travels a lot, and so that's how they incorporate their altar. So then once you've chosen your altar space, you will, you know, you'll find some candles, choose your talisman. If you're choosing a table for your altar, the direction that you choose, a lot of people face north, because that's considered like the direction of the, you know, heavens, or some will choose to face their altar in the direction that is their sign. So like I'm a Virgo, earth, that is north. But if you're a fire, then you may want to face your south. The other thing that people will do is they will sometimes choose the direction that their altar faces based on their patron deity. For example, Brigid is a sun goddess, so facing east, the rising sun would be acceptable for that. She's also known and associated with water and holy wells, so west would also be appropriate. The options are pretty endless, and as long as it resonates and makes sense for you, that's all that matters. Most people will choose to also have an object on their altar that represents the elements. That comes in handy when you're calling in the corners, the four corners. Have an object on your altar that represents those four elements. Also typically people will have crystals on their altar, maybe a bell, a cauldron, or an offering bowl. Once you've created an altar, you should cleanse it and consecrate it. And again, this can be as elaborate as you want or as simple as you want. It all depends on you. But those are some very basics to get you kind of started and make you feel like you have that space and feel a little accomplished. So there you have it. And then just understand it'll grow over time with you. And it could be interesting, you know, take a little picture of what you first set up. And then as you grow, you can watch it grow. Now I wanted to move on to a stone. I was going to talk about moldavite today. Moldavite I got out of, I was reading it out of the Witch's Almanac. And I thought it was pretty interesting. So moldavite's often referred to as a stone, but it's actually glass. It was created about 14.8 million years ago when a large meteorite crushed into the Czech Republic. The impact from the collision was so strong that both the meteorite and the land it crashed into basically vaporized upon impact. This vaporized rock eventually liquefied and rained down from the sky, cooling and solidifying into the aerodynamic shape before it hit the earth again, and is a rare green glass known as moldavite. Because of its rarity and popularity among witches, mystics, and healers, moldavite can be fairly expensive. Its popularity is not because it's rare, though, but rather because of the high vibrational quality which the stone emits. Among its properties are it enhances your psychic abilities, healing abilities, astral projection, and out-of-body experience. It accelerates one's life lessons and opens one up to deeper levels of awareness and compassion. However, it isn't just New Agers and Neo-Pagans that have revered this stone for its spiritual abilities and associations. There's evidence that Neolithic people of Eastern Europe 25,000 years ago crafted and wore them as talismans and amulets for good fortune. So there's some history on the moldavite. I thought you guys might like that. It's time for an herb, rosemary. So rosemary, they say, rosemary is a very pretty cool little herb. We can use it in cooking, and I'm sure most of you know how to use that in cooking. That goes into a lot of savory dishes. Plant it by your front door for protection. Some use it to as their sage instead of sage, because I know there's some issues right now, especially with white sage, and it's endangered and the unethical, you know, use of it. So rosemary can be substituted for sage. It has cleansing properties. Rosemary oil can be used to cleanse and consecrate your objects and your tools. Use it with red meat dishes for passion. Wear it during exams to improve memory. take a green drawstring bag, add rosemary and some pennies, and hang it over your bed to assist with fertility. It's used to, they used to make wreaths at hand fasting and weddings to symbolize loyalty and fidelity. And add it to dried orange peels and cinnamon for a cleansing spray. So the medicinal properties of rosemary is it helps with muscle pain, improves memory, boosts immune, promotes hair growth. Apparently, if you rinse your hair out with some rosemary water, that will promote hair growth. It neutralizes free radicals and is an anti-inflammatory. It has antimicrobial properties, and powdered leaves are a natural flea and tick repellent, which I thought was pretty cool. So now I want to move, speaking of cleansing, I want to move on to cleansing. And an alternative to burning sage is to create a spray. So you get a little spritzer. You can get those at the dollar store, Walmart, wherever. Sage it. And then, so take your full moon water. Take about 10 drops of lavender, about 10 drops of lemon. These are essential oils you're going to use. Some sage and pink Himalayan salt. And your full moon water, and put that in your little spritzer, and that is some cleansing spray. I joke and say it's Febreze for negativity. So in the full moon is March 9th, so you could collect some moon water for that and create some cleansing spray.
I just want y'all to know, like, I do this pretty much very amateurish. I'm not in a studio. I don't have, like, I basically record on my iPhone off of an app called Anchor, and I will write notes. Like, I try to prepare in the sense that I will write notes down, and that can keep me on task, or, you know, little bullet points, things like that, to help kind of guide me so that I'm not so here and there and lots of ohms, which I know I do a lot, so sorry for that. But that's why you know, you might hear some flipping pages. That's me looking through my notebook, trying to make sure I hit the points that I wrote down that I wanted to hit. You will hear my dog barking. You might hear traffic occasionally. But I kind of just look at this as, like, very informal, just hanging out with y'all, just, you know, sharing some information, and not really anything that's like lots of glitz and glamour. And, you know, I'm not a professional by any means. This is all very amateur when it comes to podcasting. So I hope that those things are not a distraction. Okay, so I'm going to give you a ritual, because I like to give you guys rituals, and there's one on Saged, that app that I've mentioned a couple of times now. I really like this app. It's called Saged, S-A-G-E-D. It's got lots of, there's a free bit, that's what I use. There is a premium bit where you can get a bunch of other stuff. I don't do that. I'm also not getting paid to, you know, to mention this app. It's just an app that I find useful. They have, like, daily rituals and horoscopes and stuff like that on it. So there's one on here for a self-love spiritual bath, and it is by Laura Alva. And it says, self-love spiritual bath. Self-care is essential for pampering your self-love routine. How often do you take care of yourself? Do you have spiritual baths? What is a spiritual bath, you may say? Well, let me tell you a thing or two. A spiritual bath is just that, a bath only amplified to bathe your soul as well as your physical body. Taking baths have been, since back in the Roman and Greek days and today, a way that most people like to de-stress and relax. You may have heard of people setting intentions when they have showers or baths, or have water cleanse them from any and all negativity, disease, and purify and protect them, amongst other things. You still do those things with a spiritual bath, but you add ingredients to the water, depending on what type of bath you want. Healing, purification, grounding. You can add a combination of herbs, flowers, crystals, and oils. These will aid in bathing your soul and relaxing your physical body. There are many spiritual herbalists out there that can blend something together to fit your needs. But seeing as we are talking about self-love, here is a remedy for self-love. Like with everything we do, we have to believe and trust in the process. What we think about, we bring about. It just won't work if you're not all in. Set your intentions and know that they are true. So, and I know I've told you guys, like I do a cleansing bath once a week, every sometimes more than that, but at least a specific ritual cleansing bath once a week to try and, you know, basically, and I usually do it on the weekend, and it's just to kind of wash away all the, you know, any of the negativity that I've picked up over the week in my job, that kind of thing. And, to just, to cleanse spirit, body, mind. And I really have come to love, it started out as once a week and now I do it more frequently because I really enjoy it. So, this is ingredients that you need is rose quartz for unconditional love, harmony, and self-love. Clear quartz for healing, harmony, energy, clarity, and calm. Lavender oil for peace. Jasmine oil for self-confidence. Rose oil for love. Fresh basil for purification. Epsom salt to relax the physical body. Rose petals to attract love. White candle for light. Black candle for dark. So before beginning the ritual, make sure to cleanse. You can use sage, juniper, basil, whatever you use to smoke, cleanse your ground space. You could use rosemary as well for this. You can do this in any order that you like, whatever feels natural to you. Don't worry if you don't have all the ingredients. Our ancestors may do with a lot less, yet they still manage to add magic to their everyday. Light the candles. Once you've cleansed your space, this symbolizes the light and dark aspects of ourselves. We honor both and keep them in balance when we light them and let them burn together side by side. As you light the candles, set your intentions for the healing that is about to take place. Now it is time to add the ingredients to your bath water. Add them one by one and do so with intent and presence. Be in the now moment. Add 2 to 4 drops of essential oil. Don't use too much as this may cause irritation to the skin and you want to be completely relaxed in your bath, not itchy. So I know I've talked about that before, oil and water don't mix. So whenever you're adding essential oils to a bath, you want to just use a little because it's going to sit on the top of the water basically and it can end up on your skin and then irritate your skin. For the crystals, depending on how many you have, add them. If you only have one and it's a small one, that's okay. You'll still get the benefits of the remedy. Remember that you have set your intentions as you lit those candles. Now sprinkle a handful of Epsom salt into the bath and do the same with the basil and rose petals. And you are all done. Now all you have to do now is submerge yourself into the water. Once your whole body has been under the water, say an affirmation of your choice. Close your eyes, see or feel the heart space. Hold your hands over your heart space and say an affirmation 3 times out loud. For example, you could say, I love and approve of myself. I love and approve of myself. I love and approve of myself. And so it is. Stay in the bath for as long as it feels comfortable to you. Now all you need to do is sit back and relax as the universe handles the rest. And so it is. Love, light, and blessings, Moon Seeker of Light Guardian. So that is off the Sage app. Saged app. I really do. I do like that app. I find it pretty useful. So that was a... I've given you an herb, a stone, a ritual. We've talked about altars. I don't really have anything on Ostara today. You know, the full moon is the 9th, so hopefully you're planning and preparing for that coming up. Again, now is the time to be doing the rituals and spells for bringing things into your life, because and like those returned objects, or you know, bringing prosperity into your life, bringing knowledge into your life, is, you know, as the moon grows, so it is my understanding. Or so it's things that as this moon is growing, you know, that's when you're bringing into your life. So now is the time to be doing on those. I would be doing them daily up till the full moon, or at least, you know, you don't have to one and done it. So you can be doing it, you know, as frequently or as infrequently as you want, with, you know, the full moon then being the night that kind of really truly set that intention out into the universe. And, that energy is at its most. So, anyway, yeah, that's it for now. And I will chat with you all later. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please feel free to email me at theeclectickitchwitch@gmail.com. Also check my Facebook page out at eclecticwitch. I hope you all have enjoyed this. Brightest blessings.